Well, the Cosby case, guess what? It's going to be retried later this year in November. That has been announced. Judge Stephen O'Neill says there's going to be a second trial of Bill Cosby. Here's what Camilla Cosby, this is a statement from her that a PR person read after the initial trial failed to convict him. Here's what his wife said.
How do I describe the district attorney? Heinously and exploitively ambitious. How do I describe the judge? Overtly arrogant and collaborating with the district attorney. How do I describe the counsels for the accusers? Totally unethical.
Well, that's, again, Camilla Cosby's sentiment after the initial hung jury case. Now it's going to be retried. Quentin Brogdon is with us. He is a personal injury lawyer. He's a former prosecutor, and he's now with the law firm Crane Lewis Brogdon. Quentin, great to have you on WILS.
Good evening, Mike. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
If you had been Cosby's attorney, what would you have said to the idea of reading that statement to the press?
I think the statement was a very bad idea. You risk upsetting your new jurors. You risk upsetting the judge who, unless he recuses himself in some way or a motion to transfer it is granted, he's going to be the judge in the retrial. Mm-hmm. It seems like you're spiking the football without a win yet. And her, you know, Cosby's attorney, Brian McMonagle, went on TV after the reading of that statement and kind of walked it back, basically saying the judge did a, quote, very good job. So the lawyer certainly understood that that statement was not a good idea.
And typically, in a retrial, are the odds better for the prosecution or the defense, or who gets the edge?
Well, if the prosecution doesn't change its game up, then the defense probably is going to have an edge because they have seen the entire prosecution case now. I mean, I think they had a good idea what it was before, but now they've seen it actually play out. Mm-hmm. And they, the defense, only put on about 6 minutes of their own case. And they put on a case essentially during the prosecution case by cross-examining the accuser, Constand, and cross-examining others. Mm-hmm. But I think the defense is probably going to have an edge in the retrial. But the pretrial rulings can be reopened up. If the judge lets in other accusers this time rather than just one other accuser, there are 13 others the prosecution wanted, that could change the outcome dramatically in favor of the prosecution if that occurred.
So the judge didn't let so many, a dozen other accusers, let them in the trial. What would change his mind on that topic this time?
Well, the arguments before, and no doubt the judge was concerned about the danger of Cosby being convicted solely because of other acts. And I think it's important to note that in the court of public opinion, Cosby largely has been convicted, but it's largely on the strength of 60 other accusers. And so the jurors in this case that just mistried were not supposed to consider those other accusers, just one other accuser. Okay. So you're going to have the judge's concern, potentially 13 mini trials where, you know, he's not been convicted of any of these other offenses involving these other accusers. So mm-hmm. It opens the door up for the Cosby lawyers to go through each of those and to have a little mini trial on each accuser, which mm-hmm. can really bog the case down.
Talking to Quentin Brogdon, attorney Quentin Brogdon with Crane Lewis Brogdon. How strong was the prosecution's case, would you say, in the first trial?
Well, this always has been a he said, she said case, a credibility case. And there were issues with her credibility that the Cosby attorneys harped on, pointed out. Her version of the date of the assault changed, whether she was alone with Cosby before and after. There was a one-year delay in the outcry. And then there were 72 phone calls with Cosby. She had an explanation for that. But all those things were put before the jury. So they basically did what anybody will do in defending a case like this, which is put the credibility of the accuser on trial. Yeah. Cosby himself didn't testify, no doubt, because he would have been cross-examined about some of these other women. It would have opened the door up, potentially and probably, for a withering cross-examination of all these other accusers, involving all the other accusers.
Any reason to think we'll have a different outcome this next time around?
Well, if you try a case, you know, 10 times, potentially you can get 10 different outcomes depending upon who the jurors are and how they deliberate. It's not necessarily going to be the same outcome at all. And I don't mean to imply that the conclusion is foregone, even if they try it in a similar manner. Both sides will be looking at what they think they did well and what they think they can do better. Mm-hmm. One of the things the prosecution, no doubt, is looking at is whether they can make a better connection between the sometimes, you know, arcane language of the jury charge, the written instructions and questions given to the jurors that they have to answer to determine whether there's a conviction, and the facts of the case. The jurors were sending out questions, and some of the comments jurors have made after the mistrial publicly indicate they were hanging up on some of the language, mm-hmm. at least some of the jurors were. And so the prosecution, no doubt, will be considering very carefully how they present the evidence and how they argue the evidence.
Yeah, but now, what do you think really led to the decision to retry?
Some would say that it was preordained because we had a prosecutor who ran, you know, this prosecutor, Kevin Steele, ran on a platform of prosecuting Cosby. The first prosecutor, Bruce Castor, had not gone forward with the case, mm-hmm. and just, you know, not long at all before the statute of limitations was going to run, the new prosecutor, Kevin Steele, said, "We're going forward," and they indicted him and charged him. So some would say, you know, he announced right after the mistrial, without any chance really to have spoken to any of these jurors, that we're going to retry the case. So
is that problematic when a prosecutor has this kind of a motive?
It can. Some of the jurors were concerned, and the Cosby lawyers made this a point in their defense, that this was politically motivated, that the case was being prosecuted because of appearances, because of the other accusers, because of, you know, the prosecutor's zeal in the case, in essence. And at least one of the jurors, and I think more, said they were concerned during the deliberations that maybe this was somehow politically motivated. So there was a discussion about that based on the reporting we had, that it, at least some jurors were concerned that that was possibly going on.
And some, you said in the initial trial there were some, her credibility became an issue. Is there any way the prosecution can deal with that differently this time around?
Her credibility is going to be an issue in this no matter what the prosecution does. The inconsistencies in her version of what occurred and her, you know, descriptions of things, those cannot be undone. So there's really no way to get around that, mm-hmm. other than preemptively to lay it out for the jury and to put it in a context to try and explain that those types of inconsistencies are not really unheard of in a case of this nature. When a woman, usually a woman, but a child or a man as well, is traumatized by a sexual assault, it can affect memory and recall and things that might appear in the eyes of jurors to indicate, you know, a fabricated story. There can be other legitimate explanations for those inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think his celebrity status has led to the mistrial?
It's the huge elephant in the room, and it may have been the whole reason for the mistrial. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Some of the jurors talked about that and the feeling that perhaps he had paid already enough in the court of public opinion. You know, his career is in shambles. Mm-hmm. He'll turn 80 before the retrial in November. So he will be 80 years old at the time he goes back on trial. So he's getting on up in the years. His career is destroyed, mm-hmm. pretty much, no matter what happens. He's going to try and rehabilitate it if he gets acquitted. And he faces other trials as well. I mean, he has a trial coming in July before this. Well, it's July of 2018, actually, about 7 months later, a civil trial involving Judy Huff, who claims 42 years ago she was then 15 years old, and he molested her at Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion. Wow. That's a civil case involving money going forward.
It's cost him a fortune, huh? Do you have any estimate of what you think this is costing him?
Oh, a bunch of money, no question. Yeah. Thousands and thousands of dollars for lawyers. And there's, interestingly, the lawyers, the defense lawyers, Brian McMonigal and Angela Aglusa, who defended him in the case that just mistried, they declined comment yesterday on whether they would be aboard for the retrial.
Hmm,
so
that's interesting.
You know, part of what they're no doubt negotiating is who's in control of the public statements. I can't believe they are happy with Cosby's wife and through the publicist making the kinds of statements she made. So the lawyers may be saying something to the effect of, we'll do this again, but only if we are in charge of what the public is told. You can't have your publicists out there making all kinds of comments.
Attorney Quentin Brogdon, he's with the law firm Crane Lewis Brogdon, a former prosecutor himself. Quentin, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
That wraps up the week. We're back on Monday. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. And worldwide at 1320WILS.com.